Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. I'm Brett Pfeiffer, and today we got a special episode, an interview with Chris from Ball, one of my favorite podcasts out there, C-Dub from Ball. We have had Dave on the Big Dave on the show before. Dave is his co-host on Ball. Highly recommend checking out that podcast. It's B-A-W-L. You can find it at bullspodcasters.com. You can find it on iTunes. You can also find it on Stitcher. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to. These guys do a great job. And we had Chris on to talk about the topics of the day. This was recorded about a week or so ago. Unfortunately, I left my recording software equipment at home, accidentally left it at home before we left for spring break. So in the interim, I did record a show on the Bull Zone. I highly recommend checking that out. And that actually was recorded with Big Dave, who's Chris's podcast partner and co-host. And we recorded a Bull Zone show with Jason. Really interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy that. So definitely check that out on the Bull Zone. You know, we talk about some timeless topics, Chris and I, on this episode. So hope you enjoy it. In the interim, Mark and I should have an episode out this week. We're going to get caught up on, as we move towards the playoffs, as we get healthier and things are looking up and up. As we get closer to the playoffs, we're going to start having quite a bit more episodes. So follow me at CBEFred. Email me at ChicagoBullseye@gmail. Until next time, all the best.
Thanks again for joining the Bullseye today. Huge fan of your show on Ball with Big Dave, and it's a real honor to have you on. So let's start out with, the team is in an interesting state right now, ton of injuries. Obviously you're up and down. When you're missing three of your top six guys, that's going to happen. But right now where we're at in the season, how do you feel the team is going to perform in a playoff? Let's assume that they end up at this fourth spot, playing Washington in round one, which would mean a second round matchup against Atlanta. Do you like their chances in that scenario, or do you feel that they should make a real push to get a higher seed and play, one of the teams below Washington, there are several teams fighting right there: Milwaukee, Miami, Boston, and Indiana.
Wow, that's an interesting question, because you would think the Bulls are good enough to the point where, well, you want your team good enough to the point where you don't worry about the so-called lesser teams. But
right.
Washington last year definitely posed a challenge. They turned into a Kim Olajuwon in the playoffs and really outplayed Noah. They're still, I think when playoffs come around, I know Washington's not playing well right now, but I do feel they'll probably pick up their game during playoff time, during the playoff run. So I do kind of feel Washington more than Milwaukee right now. Either Milwaukee is a young team. They don't have a lot of guys who've proven. You know, they're still learning. I think the Bulls will fare better against Milwaukee. I think Washington would give them a good challenge based on last year and just a surprise that they played us so well. Now, we have a different roster this year, obviously. We have supposedly a better team. But that's betting on the fact that Rose is healthy, Taj is healthy, going into the playoffs, and they're playing well at the same time, and also Jimmy Butler.
So would you prefer then in round two to play Atlanta or Cleveland?
Oh, wow. That's a very interesting question, because the easy answer is, well, let's play Atlanta, right? Because
right.
They don't have LeBron James. But, Atlanta, the Bulls have problems with power forwards and small forwards and centers who are versatile. Atlanta has a very versatile front court. They have power forwards who could, Miles Sabre could dribble, handle the ball, and also pass on the perimeter, shoot on the perimeter. And the Bulls this season have had problems with players of that caliber, especially when I pick a role with their point guard, with T, who's made an all-star game this year, who's improved. You have Al Horford there too, also who's a big guy to shoot and do a lot of stuff outside the paint as well. The Bulls have problems with kind of players all year long, and I don't know why, but I tend not to want to play them. As strange as it is, and Kyle Korver is right now the injured, not playing, but have one of the best shooting years in NBA history. Guys like him don't really have a deep impact in the playoffs, because if you're a one tone kind of guy, one specialist kind of guy, particularly just a three-point spot-up shooter. In a playoff situation, you get taken out the game. You know, a good defensive team in the playoffs takes you out, takes that weapon out. Atlanta is different in the fact that they have players around Culver that can actually help them generate shots, like you saw with Steve Kerr, the Bulls, and Michael Scottie. Steve Kerr will have a hard time with different a lot of different teams, but because you have Michael Scottie, he could be that specialist that comes in shoot threes. So Culver, in a situation, may not be taken out as much in the playoffs like he was when he was with the Bulls a few years back. So I'm actually kind of fearing Atlanta a little bit. As weird as that may sound, both teams are very good though. I do like Derrick Rose matchup against Kyrie Irving, I'm fearing Atlanta a little bit. Honestly,
it is such a tough call because Horford is Bulls kryptonite. I mean, the guy has one of the best outside jumpers for big men in the league, and he just destroyed the Bulls earlier. And I think, you know, it's going to minimize the importance of Gasol. You'll see a lot of Taj and Noah probably in the playoffs if they do have that matchup. And I think in the long run, it's going to hurt the Bulls' offense. But I would still rather play Atlanta than Cleveland just because, to me, it's LeBron. It's always going to be LeBron until somebody beats him in the East. And, you know, I just think they're going to be our toughest matchup with him and Irving. And Mozgov has definitely helped them shore up their interior defense. So
yeah, I agree.
You would prefer probably staying at the 4 or 5 right now, and then round two playing Atlanta.
I think Atlanta, give either way it goes, you have two great teams, right, in the East. Those are the two teams you have to beat at some point.
Right.
So you just determine the order. You do pick up a good point. One thing, you know, a key factor, I want to say a secret weapon that's not such a secret anymore is Nikola Mirotic, right? He's a mismatch a lot against teams. I don't know if he's much of a mismatch versus Atlanta. Maybe versus Cleveland, but not Atlanta.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to get playing time in the playoffs. I still kind of feel, you know, Nico, let's be honest, if Taj never got hurt, if they didn't have so many injuries with Noah this season and Taj, do you really feel he would have been given the opportunity that he's been provided due to this? I don't think he would have under Tom Thibodeau. I think he'd still be playing his 10 to 15 a night. He'd be doing okay, showing flashes, but there's no way he would have been be playing these many minutes, just in my opinion. Do you feel that way too?
I totally agree with you. I don't think he'd be playing these minutes if it weren't for injuries. Generally, and that's usually the case in sports anyway, in general, is that injury kind of propels a player to up in ranks and they allow them to get more time on the court and prove their worth. But with Thibodeau, it's more of a rare case. It's more, you're absolutely right. I don't know, but this can absolutely, the injuries happened, right? And
sure.
So now you're seeing he's forced to do this. He's forced to play these players. He's forced to play Mirotić a lot more. He's forced to play Snell, who's played a lot more and not gained confidence. And he's also forced to play Aaron Brooks a little more. I think, you see Kirk Heinrich not getting a lot of minutes on the court lately, although playoffs is different. You may lean on Kirk, because he's so used to leaning on him, in key games. But Aaron Brooks is getting more take, a little more.
We can only hope not. I have nightmares that he's going to lean on Kirk at the two closing games in the playoffs. Yeah, but I think his level of play has gotten to the point now where it's so bad where even Thibodeau won't do that. At least I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. And, of course, that depends on the injury situation. Obviously, we think Jimmy Butler's going to be back. But, but players like Mike Dunleavy, for instance, may not make the rotation that much because, as you see in history, the playoffs, especially three-point shooters, just don't play a lot of minutes. They get shut down. And Mike Dunleavy, throughout the year, starts the game off, but he doesn't play like the second half, rarely, if that's the case. Against good defense, he may not make it on the court. Thus, someone has to pick up the time, on the slack. So he may lean on Kirk a little bit more in a rotation. Hopefully not, I agree. We can bash on Kirk all we want to all podcasts.
Right.
But I think, of course, players being injured has helped out the bench players a little more. Maybe now we have more of a solid bench, due to the injuries and the time they have to spend together on the court. that, you know, we have a bit of a more 1-2 punch on the court when the bitch comes in, the matrix comes in. He can sort of lead that second unit, and he's now looked upon as a more of a leader and more of a finisher at the end of the game, and his confidence has grown.
I'm curious to get your take. Obviously, you know, there's a rift between management and Thibodeau, and it pretty much centers around the minutes limitations and the idea that they're meddling with Tibbs' coaching. And, you know, the forced upon 32 minutes per game with Noah, the forced the minutes limitations on Rose. Where do you side in this argument? Do you feel that it's more Thibodeau's at fault because he's just playing guys into the ground? Or do you feel that management is right in this situation and you side with management?
It's hard to pick sides. You know, you have a regime who's seen for years their star players, you know, Paxson and Garforma, and their star players not be able to produce at a high level in the playoffs due to fatigue, you know, quote unquote, or injuries. And you know, you can just imagine the conversation they had with Tom, you know, say, hey, Tom, you know, we think, you know, the minutes you're playing them, you know, every game is hurting the team in the playoffs. And Tom probably says, prove it. And then Don Paxson and the Bulls sort of embracing this new stats that come out. And they say, here's the evidence. And Tom says, what are you talking about? No, I don't care about the evidence. You know, I know players play. And it does, out of that, you have this disagreement, right? You know, generally you have disagreement, you hope there's some kind of compromise. There doesn't seem to be any kind of compromise. You know, end of the day, you know, Paxson and Garforma are all his bosses, right?
Right.
They're his bosses. And if he doesn't agree with his bosses, he can do what he's doing, which I don't think is good, which is having his conflict with the front office affect how he coaches on the court. We've seen, you know, this Bulls regime, as Van Gundy has spotted in the past, has not been quote-unquote friendly or whatever that means. But, you know, Jerry Krause, Michael Jordan, no one liked Krause or whatever, but they had one goal, the goal to win the championship, and that did not impact playing time and the goal to win the championship on the floor. At least we didn't see that. You know, Michael Jordan, Pippen, they wanted to win championships. But this regime, you've seen Tibbs personally get a middle finger to Don Paxson and Garth Thurman, but not playing players. You know, you give Noah a 32-minute restriction, and all of a sudden, Tibbs forgets how to average the track. You know, divided by four quarters. Come on, now, you know, get it straight. You know, so I don't appreciate. If you want to make a statement, make a statement another way. Don't have it. Don't make a statement by having an impact on how you make coaching decisions on the floor. That's the issue. I kind of want to side more with Tibbs in a way because, I see him when the ball goes up for a jump ball. I see Tibbs on the sideline. He's the coach of the team. He's the face of the team. I identify him with a lot more than Tibbs and Garth Thurman, which I never see, you know. And he, after all, he is the constructor. He is the, conductor of that team. And he has one way of coaching. He said, if you hired me to be me, this is who I am. I'm being me. They got something to change. I'm not going to change. I coach. You don't coach. You GM. So,
yeah.
But if you're going to relent, if you're going to play, if you're going to compromise by not adding, subtracting, right, and have a Noah center for a quarter, then just sort of like, you know, come on, grow up a little bit. You know, if you're going to do it, then do it. Try to win the game. Try to do it properly if you're going to compromise. It's a shame that they can't get along. It's hard to pick sides, but in the end, you know, playing a lot of minutes, on our podcast, you have throughout the years, I've gotten on tips about these minutes. Noah's playing, all these other players are playing. In playoff time, they're not ready to come play and bring it 100%. So it's hard to pick sides, but I kind of understand Tibbs. I understand both positions more. It's really hard to pick sides though on this.
Yeah, I mean, I did read today that this quote unquote minutes limitation of 32 minutes per game, Thibodeau has gone over that limitation 22 times. 5 times were due to overtime. So let's just give him the benefit of the doubt with the overtime games. That's 17 games he's gone over this quote-unquote limitation. If he's going over that limitation 17 times, it's not really even a limitation. He's doing whatever he wants. So
it's
unbelievable to me. The guy is just – I don't even feel like he's respecting. If you're doing that 17 times in how many games Noah has played, he's not really even respecting the rule. So, you know, I see your point too. I mean, it's his team, and but to me, his use of Noah has been so egregious.
Last year,
and whoever, I mean, it was clear the guy was hurt. He wasn't playing at an optimal level in versus Washington, and I think they're sick of this. You know, like every year we're limping into the playoffs, and you know, frankly, I am too. But you know, he made a good defense for Thibodeau. What if you're? I'm going to make you the GM. What do you do? Let's say the Bulls lose with this team, this talent, and I feel it's the most talented team in the East. I think it's more talented. I think it is the most talented team. I think it's more talented and more deep than Cleveland. Let's say we lose in round one or two to a team not Cleveland. Let's say we lose either to Washington or Atlanta. Do you bring Thibodeau back next year?
Well, I think I don't know how – you know, I'm going to say I feel that question is because obviously there's you got to weigh in the issues with the front office. You know,
but
based
I,
on,
I think,
based
I
on is that based on?
GM. You're the GM. I fired them. I bought the team. I fired Garbach. You're the GM, Chris.
If I'm John Paxson and this guy has given the middle finger and has ignored all my orders and I'm his superior, I'm his boss, and this guy has publicly gone out of his way, gone his way to shun me and embarrass me, I'm probably not bringing him back. That's from a GM perspective, you know, not from a fan perspective, right? If your boss been telling you all year long to do something and you don't do it, not only don't you not do it, you go on public TV throughout the year complaining about minutes that you have restrictions that you have to follow, and then sometimes you follow, sometimes you don't. I think, if I'm a superior, I'm upset about that, and I'm probably not having a back as an employee.
What about your opinion, though? Let's say the Bulls do fire him.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about that? And if it does happen, do you have any people in mind that you'd like to see coach this team?
As a fan, I want Tibbs back. I have no idea out there who to coach this team. I've only seen, sort of this regime, especially under Derrick Rose with Tibbs, you know, with Derrick Rose at his peak playing better, and Jimmy Butler. That's a good question. You see around the NBA, they bring in a retrade. Now Brian Shaw got fired. I do not like Brian Shaw, so I don't want to see him with the Bulls.
I'm
just praying for that. I ever since that thing on Portland, whatever, okay, old wounds. And then I'm not a big much Carl Frantz fan. He's back in the league. So, you know, to see the league is kind of searching for these coaches and the next Popovich. Turns out you have one. You have a good one in Tibbs. One thing Tibbs has proven, though, I think he's proven, if he has a healthy team, he will play the bench. If he has a truly healthy team, I think he will. And I, as a fan, I want him back. I don't know the other coach right now. Unless, you know, Paxson comes down, coach the team, and like I said, named Kirk Heinrich assistant coach. This is going to happen, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
But
why? Why is he so qualified to be an assistant coach? Have you ever heard him say anything incredibly eloquent or intelligent that would lead you to believe, hey, this guy should be coaching?
Neither has Steve Kerr, so I don't
Yeah, Steve Kerr is a great analyst who, you know, obviously had a good mind for the game. I hear Heinrich talk, I'm like, the guy's got the personality of a wet dish rag. I mean, I don't understand why.
Yeah, that's funny. You have to audition yourself on TNT and ESPN to show your smarts, and then
hire Steve Smith before Heinrich. I love Steve Smith on the color commentary.
McKinney.
Yeah, a few more than that. Not Kenny. No way.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Barkley. I'd love. How great would that be? Oh my God.
Oh, that'd be insane.
Can't think of anything better than that. A few more. Hey, thanks again, really, for joining us. I got a few more questions for you. The first one is your personal. Who's the MVP of this team? Give me your top two votes for the Bulls MVP in this season.
Oh wow! I'll say up to this point. Right now, I'm feeling Marcus Gasol, simply because of the fact he's still healthy. And he's still giving you 50% from the field, you know, was it
highest PDR? Highest PDR on the team. I agree completely. He's my
Yeah, you know, he's not perfect. People, it's funny, you know, people complain about him not playing defense on the way. I'm like, listen, if you want to, he's only one Shaq, there's only one Kim Olajuwon, you know, everyone can't do anything perfectly, you know.
Yeah.
So, what he does very well, you know. He
still
shoots point shots well, kind of loud.
Amen. He's still top five in blocks, and last time I looked, blocks were part of defense. He's such an upgrade on Boozer. It's just, you know, people forget Noah is playing at a all-first-team NBA last year. He's been a shadow of what he was. And for people to, you know, be like, Gasol is a disappointment, it's just it's insane to me. I completely agree with that. How about your number two vote?
My number two will have to be, I'm leaning toward Jimmy Butler. You know, he'd probably be number one if he wasn't injured right now.
Right.
Even though the Bulls already win a bunch of games with, you know, while he was throughout. But Jim Butler is a wonderful surprise. I think he's a surprise to the league and also to the front office in general, because you got to think that when they came into the year, that I'm sure John Paxson and Gar Foreman were like, yeah, Jim Butler's going to come in and be an all-star and have 21 points a game. Yeah, no doubt about it. No, they didn't think that. They thought it was coming in with Jimmy Butler a little bit improved from last year. I hope that Derrick Rose would reach that MVP point. But wonderful surprise. His 20 points are valuable. His, you know, he's very economical with how he scores. Amazing that he scores, well, shooting high percentage, low amount of shots. And he seems like the type of player that was seemingly only get better. So Jimmy has been a big, big value this year. So I had to put Jimmy in number two.
And last two questions. Who do you – let's get your MVP overall in the NBA. I'd like to hear your vote for that. And what's your prediction for the NBA Finals? The two teams that we're going to play, and who's going to win it?
Wow. MVP is tough. You got Curry, you got Harden. I think Curry's going to win it. But I'm leaning towards Harden.
Amen.
Because I think he's just doing more with less in the West, and that rise, not unintentionally. Either one I'm happy with. Like, if it's Steph Curry wins, I'm happy with. I think Curry definitely has a more talented team. I think Harden is leaning upon a lot more. Because that Houston team is a nice little team, but they're not that great. But they're still hanging around in the playoff position and winning like they are without Dwight Howard. And, you know, I have to give them mad props. But either one of those two would be I wouldn't be upset at all.
Great. I mean, what's your prediction for the finals?
In the finals, I have San Antonio Spurs again because I never doubt San Antonio. Except for one game when I went crazy and doubted them.
I think I remember
reason.
That.
Some reason I had LeBron James embraced me for his greatness for one game, and I flip-flopped, but I shouldn't have done that. I knew better than that. So I'm
I think I remember that. Yeah.
So I think I don't think Golden State. I look at Golden State. I just don't believe in them as a final team for some reason. I don't know why. I just think San Antonio is going to come out the West for some reason. And I hate to say it, I think it's going to be Cleveland in the finals.
And who's going to win that?
Ooh, that'll be San Antonio. Yeah. That question you asked me earlier about Atlanta and Cleveland, listen, I don't want to play LeBron James. I'm not dumb. I don't want to play LeBron James. So
Atlanta in round two. Let's hope it's Washington, Atlanta, and then Cleveland. Because I agree with you. I would rather play Atlanta in round two than Cleveland. I don't want any part of LeBron, at least until the ECF. And, you know, if we have to see him in round two, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, because especially if you play against Cleveland, Derrick Rose could play well against Teague and not be at the best. But he's come back from injury. He need more time. He's going to be at the best against Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I agree. Chris, I can't thank you enough for joining the Bullseye today. You gave us almost a half an hour. Really appreciate your time on this Thursday, and look forward to listening. Tell everybody where they could follow you on Twitter, and then obviously a little bit more about the Ball podcast.
Yeah, so Dave, you know, Dave and I, Big Dave and I have a podcast called Ball on Bulls, where we talk about Bulls, all things Bulls, and also we have a podcast called Ball, where we talk about sports in general, a little longer format. You can find our podcast on ballsports.com. That's BAWLSPORTS sports.com, ballsports.com. And David and I are on Twitter at twitter.com/ballsports. Of course, you know, a podcast. Both podcasts are up on iTunes and wherever you are, whatever podcasts are available. Is you can get our podcast.
Highly recommend it. One of my favorites to listen to. Chris, thanks a lot for joining the Chicago Bullseye. All the best to you, and looking forward to having you on again as we head into the playoffs.
Thank you, Fred. Big fan. Thank you for
having me on. All right, man. Have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too. All right.
Bye-bye.